Hello, fuck
What up, fuck
fam! What up?
fam?
We are here with a special, very special, special guest today. How are you?
What up, Mike?
Hey!
Well, you've been working out?
Yeah, I have been working out,
what
actually.
What the fuck?
Nice.
Are you still
I
doing
changed,
that?
right?
Yeah, are you still doing that hard program?
No. I added some more size to me.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so I'm not like, I'm more dense. Feel my arm right now. Feel this shit. It's dense.
I want to feel that shit.
It's pretty dense. Yo, I'm not the biggest guy, but it's dense.
It's like two dicks in one. There. It's
yeah,
packed.
Yeah. One punch man, motherfucker.
Whoa. Damn. And you got something out of your mouth? Like, yo.
Hell
you've been
man.
Working on your pussy licking skills or what?
What the
yeah,
fuck?
Every day. Every day I wake up, I go, A, B, D, C, D. I do that.
Oh, with the alphabet, right?
Yeah, because it helps me loosen my jaw for a stand up, too.
Oh, nice. Two in one.
Nice. Kill two birds. With one tongue.
I love
Do you
it.
Like eating pussy?
If their legs are smooth, because I have a leg fetish, I have a massive leg fetish.
Oh shit, look, your legs are just right there for him to admire.
Yeah,
what
like
do you think?
The smoother they are, like naturally, like smooth as fuck.
You can touch them.
And then if they're long, if their legs are longer, like anime style, like their torso short and then their legs are like almost double the length, or like, or two thirds or whatever, you know, more.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really like that, right?
Uh-huh.
And then why did I say that? What the fuck were we talking about?
Talking about like fetishes and like you eating pussy.
Oh, eating pussy. Yeah.
Back to
so
the
it's
point
like it's
pussy.
Like I'm grateful that their legs are so, you know, fit my fetish. I'm like, I guess I have to eat this pussy, fuck, you know, because if I'm touching a leg and it's super like hardcore stubbly, like my ex had like really like man leg stubble, even though she was really hot, like her fucking hairs on her, like she was Mexican, they were so powerful.
Oh.
They were more powerful than any girl I've ever been with.
Oh,
they would grow back. She would shave, it would grow back in like an hour. It was fucking crazy. It was like Super Saiyan leg hairs. And then I would just feel it, and my hands would go, oh my god. I'd be like, oh, I can't control it. I tried to not be like that, but then it's a thing that I've had leg fetish since like I was in second grade.
Whoa. Do you have like a type? What's your type?
I don't know.
Just legs? Legs is like the
No, no, no.
The
that's
bare
not the
minimum.
Main thing. No, no. It's
okay.
not the bare
Like,
minimum.
If you were to, like, describe your perfect girl, like, what traits would she have?
Yeah.
Physical and...
Mental.
Should I start with physical?
Yeah, start with physical.
Okay. Big eyes, big teeth.
Big teeth?
It's weird. I like girls with big teeth. It's a fucking weird thing. I think it's when they go... Like, oh, you look like a horse. I'm like
an overbite. Like
yeah. I kind of like that. I kind of like that.
Okay.
I like that a lot. And like a small head. I like girls with small heads. It's fucking weird. Like a small head and like they're like kind of like so it makes her shoulders a little bit broad, but not too broad. And then their torso is short, shorter than her legs, and their legs are like almost twice the length of their torso.
You just described a waifu, Mike.
I know.
Literally like a waifu.
Yeah. But there's girls like that out there. But that's like, it's not a thing that, it doesn't have to be double the length of, as long as it's longer than the torso. But because I've been with girls that the torso was the same length as their leg, like same length.
Uh-huh.
And then I couldn't get into that.
Okay.
Wow. So you were just like crossed off the list if their torsos are too long?
And clean pussy.
Like
the
like
pussy
shaven?
Has no, I mean like the juice has to be not, I mean girls naturally, you know, like shit happens. But there's some girls that just stay stank 24/7 all year round, no matter the season, and I can't do that.
Do you think that's a hygiene issue, or do you think that's like a biological, like body issue?
I think it could be either or both.
Ah,
because there was this one girl, even though she would shower, so basically, like this is how bad it smelled. I would be smashing,
okay,
and then I could smell it from like 3 feet away, or more.
What did it smell like?
What did it smell like?
It smelled like. If the devil went, like that.
Wow, that's pretty.
And then she showered. The first time she showered, like, I was like, hey, can you do, you know, hey, we should shower. And then she showered. I was like, oh, it's all right now. Three strokes in, Pandora's box opened back up.
Oh my God.
And the gates of hell opened.
It might be a diet issue. Maybe pineapple. More pineapple in the diet would make
Yeah,
them.
But that was like a huge problem. Like,
Right. Wait, may I ask what her race was?
Taiwanese.
Damn.
What?
I thought all Taiwanese girls smell nice.
Yeah,
that's
I thought most Asian girls smell nice.
It changed what I thought about Asian girls. So not all Asian girls are super, yeah.
That was a very elitist thing for us to think then, Jay.
I know, right? Look at this ethnocentric
type
of thinking. God, you guys are racist.
Oh, shit. Damn, I didn't know. I thought Taiwanese girls are like really cutesy. They take care of their hygiene a lot, you know?
I don't know.
So did you break up with her because her pussy stank?
We only dated like 3 months, so it wasn't like a breakup, but... And then she had this, she would sneeze like this.
That's cute. That's
no, it pissed me off.
Because it's fake, right?
No, it was real, and that pissed me off.
Oh, shit.
And I asked her one time, I was like, and it's not even her fault, so I'm not mad at her for that, but I just couldn't be, it annoyed me. And I asked her, do you really sneeze like that? Is that real? And she's like, yeah, it's just, hold on, give me a second.
Wait, is that also why you broke up with her too?
Or no, it was a combination of things, but honestly, mainly the vagina thing. Because, dude, if my dick smelled like that, no girl would ever stay with me either. It was horrendous.
It's pretty true. True, yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
It's unbearable.
Not cool. But it was crazy how you stayed with her for 3 months despite.
Well, I was in my mid 20s and my dick was just like
very hard all
like,
the time.
Just dropping. trying to. It was like a gusher, you know.
Do you just like hold your breath every time?
What I would do?
Yeah, hold your breath every time you fucked her. Just like try to get it over with as quick as possible.
That's a good point. What I would do is, when I would do missionary, I'd stick my head far over her shoulder.
Okay. Wait. Yeah. Okay. No, okay.
He's on top of her.
Got it.
Like over her shoulder. Yeah. And then I'd do it. And then after a couple of times, she's like, hey, why do you always look in the corner of the room like that? What are you looking at? What are you thinking about?
She's catching on.
And then I said, you know, I'm just trying to focus on you and just doing the best I can do, you know? I'm trying to dick you up. And she was like, okay. But it was because I was trying to get as far away from the proximity of the smell.
Shit. Oh, my God. Damn.
You know what an answer to that would be? Just only fucking her in the shower from then on.
But
only
then doing it in the shower. You can still smell in the shower, right?
Well, but then the shower, the water fucks up the natural lubrication of the vagina.
Yeah, it's not as nice.
Shower sex really isn't rough, that all that.
No, no, because it like drags the skin.
Yeah, it does. It's like this.
Yeah, so you have to, and then it's uncomfortable, and then you try to do like standing doggy style, and you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be good, and then it just drags.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's never what you think it is.
Yeah,
but it looks good in the movies.
It does look good in the movies
and porn.
Or in porn, yeah, everything. Yeah. All of our education is from porn. At least mine is. I don't know about you.
Yeah, a lot of it was porn.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to know, how do you reject girls nicely? Like, is there a way? Like, is there like something that you do? Like, say, like that girl that you're with, right? How'd you reject her? How'd you like get rid of her?
Oh, that one we just naturally just kind of let it go.
Oh, really?
There's a point where you don't really have to say anything if it's been that short.
Oh.
You think 3 months is short time though? I think 3 months is like, I think if you were to go or like to just like naturally like grow apart at that point, I feel like it's kind of a stretch because 3 months is kind of quite a while.
I see what you mean, but it wasn't like a regular 3 months.
Ah, okay. Mm. So yeah. You weren't like dating regularly for 3 months. It was kind of like a casual thing.
Yeah, but I know she wanted more.
Okay.
How'd you know?
Turns out she still follows me too. I didn't know that.
Duh.
That was like 7 years ago.
What?
Yeah, I only found that out because I made a post saying I reposted on my Instagram like a tweet of me saying it's been 3 years this month that I've been pursuing my dreams, and I lost a relationship, I lost friends, and I lost my hair, but I gained so much more. Blessed. And then she liked it. And I was like, oh shit, she still follows me.
Damn.
She was actually a really nice person. Mm. A really kind-hearted soul, but
most Taiwanese people are rich, so.
You know, there's just incompatibility. So
and
it's no, you know, shade on her and stuff. But
yeah. Imagine her watching this, and it's like she knows it's her, and we're talking.
Oh, by the sneeze, she would know it's her.
We're just openly discussing her hygiene, her pussy hygiene on our podcast.
Yeah. But can we talk about the mental part so I don't sound just like a fuckboy?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Let's talk about it.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, wait. I forgot to introduce him.
Has it been like fucking 20 minutes?
We've already gone past that point in time. My pussy is like girlfriends, but go ahead.
Okay, do you want to introduce me just for the fuck of it?
Quickly introduce you just so they know who we're talking to. Mike Kim, he is a stand-up comedian and a TikToker and just a very sexy boy.
Intro. Those are all facts.
Content creator.
All of the above.
Dear friend of ours, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so back to our topic, the traits of girls.
Mentally.
Okay.
All that stuff. Mentally. I want them, number one, where I'm at now is I want them to be able to hold themselves accountable. Accountable meaning like if they made a mistake, if things are going wrong in their life, that is clearly because of a decision they made, they are able to... not point fingers at everything else and blame the world, but point it back at themselves to improve and not play a victim. Because I can't stand dating people who always play victim and it's never their fault, because then everything's your fault.
That's
and,
true.
And then right. you can't grow together. So that's like the number one thing. As soon as I see that there's like pointing fingers all the time, I'm out.
I think some girls do that though, because in their head, and I might be wrong, is that like they might think because they're immature that it's cute. Like always blaming other people or not taking responsibility because it's kind of seen as like a cute, like, I don't know if Koreans do it, but in Chinese culture, like sometimes girls will throw a tantrum or girls will like do like a cute tantrum or like do like kind of ridiculous things because it's kind of perceived as cute or immature. So I don't know if that's...
I think that's kind of like the Korean egg yolk thing a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's no, not, okay, no, for, it's not cute my... to me. Okay. Like, I'm good on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then just like a sense of humor, being able to understand my jokes, because I dated girls where they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh my God. Like every half sentence. And then just, you know, just easy conversation.
Would you date another comedian? Another stand-up comedian?
I have rules on that.
You don't want to shit. You said you didn't want to shit where you eat, right?
No, I don't want to shit where I eat.
Yeah. I've heard that from other comedians too.
Yeah, because that could lead to a lot of problems. And to me, stand-up is like my safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
It's my community. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. There's been a couple girls where we definitely vibe. And I was like, fuck, I want to go out with you. But I'm thinking long-term and I'm willing to just sacrifice that and not. Yeah.
What about another content creator?
I am going to first see how they do things. If they put all their business out there and then if they get mad at this one other person they dated and they like blast their shit. If they do shit like that, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still wary about content creators because there's been content creators like I vibed with and just... mentally castrated myself because I'm thinking ahead of like long term. But if there's a point where it's like the connection is undeniable and they're not that type of person who would try to throw me under the bus if we just broke up or something, then I might consider it. But I'm very wary about that. Would you guys?
I prefer not to date a content creator, but I think I could. I would like to date someone creative, like on the creative end of things, whether it be like a writer,
like a photographer or something.
Yeah, or like a director or someone.
Yeah.
But not actually someone, like not the talent, because I feel like it would cause some like issues as far as like, I don't know, like sharing the spot, not even sharing the spotlight, but I feel like there's a certain personality type that likes to be in front of the camera and a certain personality type that likes to be behind the camera. And I think having one in front of the camera, behind the camera creates a good harmony, a good synergy.
Yeah, because there can be jealousy that gets involved.
Yeah.
You know, like envy and jealousy is a very real thing. You know, my ex was actually jealous of me. My ex, it was a 2-year relationship. Halfway into the relationship, after the first year is when I started to, you know, pursue all my dreams. And then I noticed a pattern of her causing drama right before a stand-up show, like every stand-up show. And it just like really... just starting shit. And I was like, is it just me? And I remember I said, we were in the car and I was like, look, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's me, but I'm seeing that you keep starting shit right before a show. Like, I don't know. Is it me? Can I do better? What can I do? Like, just let me know. I want to improve. So I made it about me, right? And she's like, you know what? Fine. I admit it. I'm jealous that you found your thing and I haven't found mine.
She admitted it?
Verbatim.
Whoa.
But I had to get it out of her. That was like the shortest. So that, and then it was like downfall.
Yeah. How do you even come back from that when they say that, you know?
Well,
you
I mean,
past it at that point,
it wasn't even like her saying that. It's what she was doing that was contributing to that.
Well, it's like her sabotaging you, basically.
She was
right?
Sabotaging me. Yeah. I don't need to get into all the stories, but sabotage me all the fucking time.
Okay.
All the time.
Let's talk.
And I can't have that. That's why. Like, there's this guy named, he's a great comedian, Dave Getzoff. He says, he's older. He said,
Dave Getzoff?
Oh, yeah! Getzoff. I think I'm fucking up his last name, but Getzoff, whatever. Shout out to Dave. He knows. I said, he says, peace over pussy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I go by. I'd rather not have sex for, like, 3 years and just do things I want to do than just deal with nonsensical drama. Well, now, at my age.
It's very mature of you to say. What about your current situation right now?
I mean,
let's talk about like
it's so new.
Like second date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about her?
Yeah, you want to share like what you got,
like where you met her.
Yeah.
What did she like a little bit?
Oh, where you met her? Where you met
yeah,
her?
Yeah, I think where you met her was pretty.
Like I feel like this one will have a lot of potential. Like I feel like this one's gonna go somewhere because we talked about. No.
I'm not saying anything.
I mean, with that
face. I'm just going with the flow. I don't know. I'm like.
Where'd you meet her?
Facebook dating.
Tell us about, I didn't even know Facebook dating existed, but can you tell us about it? Because maybe we want to try it. Yeah.
Well, Facebook dating, I stayed off all the online dating stuff because I did a lot of that Coffee Meets Bagel, Bumble, Tinder. I did a lot of that in the past, but then.
And what'd you think?
Facebook, it was just hooking up and meeting crazy people. That's it.
Oh, a lot of crazy people on
Tinder. Okay, Bumble. I lied about Bumble. I only got one match, and it was a girl that I already had sex with who cheated on me on her fiance. Cheated on her fiance with me.
Oh, damn.
But I didn't know that.
Sorry.
Until I saw the ring. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't know that. Though, holy later. Shit. I really didn't see it until. But anyways, that's a different story. So Facebook dating, a lot of people don't know about it. One of my friends told me about it. And then anyways, I decided to try to give it a chance recently. Just, you know, just for the fuck of a swipe once in a while. Not care. Not commit too much. And then we matched. And then we went on 2 dates.
What is Facebook dating like? Like, do you have like a profile? Is it like OkCupid or is it like Tinder? What is it like?
I'd say it's a mix between Tinder or like, I think like Hinge almost.
Okay.
Because you will see mutual friends on Facebook.
Isn't that scary? Imagine you match your Facebook friends.
But it makes them a little safer though. Just a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you already know them, right?
A little bit.
And then they have
bit.
Like people to vouch, like I see what you mean. Like they have like groups to vouch for them because they're mutual friends, right?
You can see your mutuals.
But it's weird, isn't it? No, like.
Yeah, I mean, our mutual friend, I only talked to twice in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you could ask that mutual friend, like, oh, how is she like a person?
Like a reference like, check.
Like a reference check.
But we're not friends enough, close enough friends for that. And if I did that, if he's close to her, he would have told her and she might have been like, why do you have to ask that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
At this point, I just said, I'm open. I'm willing to give it a chance and just go with the flow because fuck it. Because I've been really close. I mean, I've been hooking up with girls here and there, but I've been very closed off to like emotionally and oh!
Why?
Because I don't know. I'm so afraid to introduce somebody into my life who can throw a wrench into the system I built. Like I'm afraid of falling in love because if I fall in love, is she gonna be a priority while I'm doing all this stuff? And that's what I was so afraid of. And then now I'm like, I'm a little bit more open to it, and but I'm also still, I kind of don't know if I need that right now.
What about eventually? Do you think you're gonna get married?
I don't know about marriage. That's not even a thing. But I will say this: the reason why I'm feeling like this too, of being more open, is because it'll be 2 years since breaking up with my ex in December, and I bumped into her. I didn't see her for over a year and a half, and I bumped into her.
Where?
Recently.
Where?
At a Mediterranean restaurant, our favorite one.
Oh, that's cute.
Memories.
Yeah, but then when she saw me, like it's funny because before that, 3 days before that, I had a dream that we bumped into each other, and then it was like, you know, thank you. I learned a lot in a relationship. I know, you know, we went through some things, but you know, I appreciate you and. We were holding each other. We were crying. And I woke up and I was like, damn, that was a good send off to finally let her go. Because I was already over her. But then that was the dream. Just let me know, dude, you can be a little bit more open with things now. Fine. You know? And I bump into her 3 days later. I see her and she's sitting outside. And then I'm like, hey.
Wow.
Ignores me. I'm like, hey, so-and-so. And she does this. She goes like this. She goes like. Like no expression, looked up,
what?
Looked like down, psychopath. Like a zombie. No, like a dead zombie. And I was like, whoa, she was wearing the same outfit from like fucking before too, like faded ass yoga outfit. But that was weird.
That's like almost like a simulation type thing. Like like she was like an NPC, like looked up, looked down, wearing the same shit. Damn, that's fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah, it kind of creeped me out a bit, but it also let me know that I don't think she's doing too well. Because I mean. She was lost back then, and I can tell she's still lost. And you know, I don't wish that upon her. I can empathize for her, but that let me know too. Like, hey, I'm all right.
Did that make you feel like a little bit good though?
A little bit.
Yeah. Low key petty.
just a little bit because you know she she dumped me. Well, I dumped her first, and then we kept dumping each other, and then she had the final dumping. And then and it just completely blocked me. We couldn't even just have a conversation. She just blocked me. And I had to deal with that alone.
That sucks.
It does. Getting
blocked. But I don't resent her. Okay. But I don't resent her. Getting blocked is worse. You got blocked.
No, I blocked.
You blocked because you if you
we both wait, block
we block we block people very just very quickly if you like
like when give me example how quickly what do they have to do
yo if you ask me okay if you ask me first time like oh I want to go out with you first time we want to get drinks and not ask me to dinner block
wait block. Get drinks and not dinner
yeah
and we that's a block
that's a block
how why
I don't do I'm not gonna waste my time by getting drinks with you. Yeah. I feel like that's a weed out. That's an automatic weed out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, dinner's a waste of fucking time on a first date.
I mean, that's the difference between girls and guys.
Yeah, it's the difference, though.
No. We want guys to invest.
Yeah. Like, I'm investing like, I'm gonna get ready. Probably, like, I do my hair, you know, do my makeup, get my clothes, you know, like, I buy my clothes. Like, I'm gonna look good for you. Like, you're gonna at least invest some money. I'm not asking for a $3-4 sign place, but at least dinner.
Well, why can't it be like a place with some like nice drinks and then maybe some like cool little tapas?
That's like low effort, though.
How is that okay? I don't. How is that? So
maybe
you guys
drinks and tapas is okay, but like so here, not
here's
just
what
drinks,
I'm saying.
Not
here's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
You guys think investing is based off of finance and money?
Sure, for a guy, yeah,
it's the most valuable.
It's the most valuable to them, yeah, because you could just they could just be investing their time, but you could just be a placeholder, right? Like I'm at a point in my life where I'm nobody's. I don't want to be.
I can feel.
Placeholder.
The energy just comes.
We're passionate.
Face your face changed. And you're like, no, bitch, you do. And all of a sudden, it's like the wrath of all the past guys. You fucking motherfucker. I fucking hate you. Fuck you, Mike. I'm like, what did I do?
I'm so sorry.
You guys are both just like feeding off each other. And I was like, whoa, this is happening. This is happening.
I'm
yeah.
Getting
yeah.
up on you, Mike.
No, but that's an interesting take because for. Actually, no. I want to hear a little bit more. Okay.
No. Wait. What were you going to say?
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, here's why dinner to me on a first date is not my ideal. Because first of all, we're chewing food. It's uncomfortable. The girl's always kind of worrying. Like she's trying to be like careful. I want a situation where we can have, I'm looking for the conversation. Can we have a smooth conversation without the distractions? That's what I look for. We can't even converse. Yeah, so the drinks is just like an excuse. Or like, I'll say like a park. We'll even go to a park. Can we hang out one-on-one as humans and connect without needing distractions? Because that's what matters to me. Because I need, you guys know how much I fucking talk. I'm a fucking comedian. I need that shit. If I can't converse with you, that's one of the biggest turns-offs. If you don't even get what I'm saying, or I don't get what you're saying, and we just don't vibe like that, it's done. I don't even want to have sex with you at this point, because in my early 20s, I don't give a fuck. But now, that matters to me. I want to be able to sit there and just like talk. And if we sit in silence, It's because we're comfortable with each other, but I know that we can talk.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the only reason why. And to me, it's like, and if we have a dinner, we have to just painstakingly, if it doesn't work on a first date where we don't even know each other.
They just stay for like 2 hours.
And we just met for the first time. Doug, that is so uncomfortable. And at least with a drink, it's like, hey, after one drink, it's been like maybe an hour. We're like, yeah, well, it was nice meeting you. You can just, there's a way out. It's a way out for both sides. That's why I do that. Then I want to go to dinner. I want to invest after that, knowing that we both vibe, not because I'm trying to use her for something. That's my philosophy on that, at least, because I've done the dinner thing. I've done all, and it's just been the movie, like, hell, the fucking movie.
Because movies, you can't talk.
Awkward.
Like,
yeah, it's
movies
fucking awkward, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do, like, hold hands for fucking 1 hour, 45 minutes and get sweat all over?
No. You just touch elbows like this
because
we're both shy.
Yeah,
you just touch like this.
And then you're just like, fuck, dude, this is weird. Like, and then you move your arm away. And then as a guy, you're like, fuck, do I look like a bitch because I'm not touching her? But then you, like, touch her and you're like, fuck, does she want to be touched because we're in a movie? My hand's kind of sweaty. It's getting her jeans kind of soaked on my three fingertips touching her thigh. So I'm not even enjoying the fucking movie.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking this whole fucking time. When all I could do, yeah, that's kind of
yeah. My bad.
It's damn, homie. Damn. I was like, yo, that shit's be soaked.
It's like damp.
You got that fucking soak hand.
The wet hand.
But I also see where both of you are coming from in terms of like the investment of I want to know that they care because the let's be real here, a lot of it sucks. A lot of guys will use women.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard for you to trust a man, and I get that.
Yeah.
But to me, dinner is not the ultimate sign. Because if anything, do you know how many guys I know that have the money like that, and then girls fall for that shit because they just, here, I got this for you, like all that. And women fall for it like that.
It's definitely not foolproof, but I feel like it's definitely like a way to kind of vet a guy, like very, very superficially, albeit.
Well, here's the thing. You're also not considering what bracket of income, you know, finances and stuff too, because you have to consider that. You guys know me. I don't fucking make much money. I can't take them out to like the most extravagant places. Like I maybe, well, if they were worth it, if I knew that if we invested in each other, then yeah. But like, even if I was balling, I wouldn't do that on the first date. I'm like, because then they're going to expect me. I already dictated the direction. They're going to expect me to keep balling out. And then as soon as I'm like, hey, why don't we go to the park and hang out? They're like, oh, what? I'm not good enough, blah, blah. You know, it does like, it's a mental thing. Mm. You know, so that's my experience. But yeah, I mean, the whole vetting process is very hard. It's tough.
It is.
How do you vet? Like, how do you shift through girls? Like, how do you know which ones are?
It's literally like, I tried to, even the FaceTiming and the phone call thing, and that kind of helped a little bit. But then you meet them and it's not always the same.
FaceTime with them or something before the first date? Is that
a good idea?
Ideal for you?
Not all the time, but if I'm very wary, I will do that. But even then. Then you meet them, and if you go well on FaceTime, there's been times it was so different, and it just didn't even match.
FaceTime?
Yeah, FaceTime was great, and in person was strange.
Wow.
Why was a stranger person?
And you think, because you see them in the camera and the video, that you're going to get a good, accurate tell of what they really look like, look completely different, too. Some people just look super
good.
Videogenic, photogenic, yeah, whatever.
Angles also matter too. Angles is a huge thing. Yeah,
so all that stuff, it just never matched. So you know, I prefer organically meeting people, but with the online stuff, that's why I'm like not so open to just meeting anybody now online because you don't fucking notice people, and then I have to sit there and like it's just awkward. I don't know. I could do more shit with my time than that, you know?
I think as you get older, you become pickier about who you surround yourself with, whether it be in a romantic context or like a friendship context, because you just don't want to waste your time anymore. So that's a sign of maturity. Good on you. Good on Mike.
And good on the both of you for having this amazing podcast amazing guest.
Thank you.
Amazing guest. But yeah, I mean...
But like, I feel like don't your fans throw pussy at you? Like, for example, when you go to this comedian show, like when you do your like stand-up stuff, like don't like the crowd, like they want to talk to you, they want to get your number, or like even like when you're on TikTok, you must have like so many like girls just throwing their pussy at you.
Yeah, fan stories. Any of them?
Yeah, fan stories.
When Confessions of a Former Fuckboy, that series first started popping, I had thousands of women. Do you know how many times I got asked in a live stream? What sign are you? How tall are you? Wow.
What are the answers? What sign are you?
I'm a Cancer. Cancer. Oh, we're going to get Cancer. We're going to get malignant Cancer. We're going to get terminal diseases.
Hey.
Yeah, we're going to die. Anyways, so.
That got so dark.
I know. Listen, I hope that doesn't happen. But, dude, like. Fucking woman throwing themselves at me like we should like come grab a drink blah blah, but this one girl kept talking to me the whole time, and then she stood out because she didn't do that crazy shit. I mean, not crazy, but the same thing all the other girls did. So I just kept talking to her, and then we like dated for a couple months. But
I did
because she didn't act like a fan.
She acted like a friend,
just like a supportive normal person,
like normal conversation.
Yeah, but
in the DMs.
She would show up to my live streams all the time and everything, and this was at the, you know.
But isn't that kind of like the definition of a fan is someone that like that acts like a friend but doesn't have the context to know you as a friend?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But compared to everybody else, the way they were throwing themselves at me, it was you guys have, I'm telling you, just so many. I'm not even exaggerating. I've never felt so wanted in my life. It made me feel I was like, what does Brad Pitt feel like?
Damn. It was like that, huh?
It was like that.
Was it like would they be objectifying you because of your personality or like the way you look? What was their reason for?
Here's the thing. So I, on the Confessions of a Former Fuckboy series, I was teaching women what I used to do to manipulate women.
They like that, huh?
I was teaching them to defend themselves because I was sick of explaining myself to all my homegirls. I was like, let me just make a video.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah.
Okay, one example, and I don't want to do anymore because I don't want to revisit. It's like, I would say shit like, "Oh, you don't want to get too close to me because, you know, I don't want to hurt you." And she's like, "Wait, what? What are you talking? Why? Because she gets curious, because, you know, girls that want to fix guys want to chase, and I'm like, nah, I just, I don't know. I'm kind of scared. That's why. Then I feign vulnerability.
That's true. I can relate to the fact that girls do want to some extent, fix guys.
A lot do.
Yeah.
A lot of girls want to fix a guy because they're motherly. They're nurturing. Like, they, you know,
yeah, I don't have a baby, so I'll take care of you.
You know, that type of shit. Mm. So, yeah, then, yeah, there was, I don't know, but it kind of died out. Like, I get girls hitting on me here and there, but it's not what it was before because, oh, your question about why? It's because by me doing that and then a lot of girls, like fucking thousands of women saying, that happened to me, blah, blah, this and that, da, da, da. That validated that I know what I'm doing, even if it's not in a healthy way, even if it's manipulative. And then because a bunch of women were giving me attention and hitting on me, it made other women want to hit on me more because of social proof. Mm. It made me more, it gave me higher value. And then not to mention all the guys saying, I look up to you, bro. Oh, he's a king. So, right?
It's even like a snowball effect, right?
You know, there's a huge snowball effect. So I was like the shit because, and also nobody was talking about what I was talking about. Whenever people gave dating advice, they'd say, look out for this guy or this girl. They will do this. I'm flipping it around and talking about things I did. People weren't talking like that. And a lot of people still don't talk like that. I purposely threw myself under the bus in a sense just to be like, this is why you got to look out for this because I did it and it fucking works.
You're the sacrificial lamb.
In a sense, I did say that. And then I didn't know it would give me a following. I just said, fuck it. I got nothing.
You got all the women following, like supporting you. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be women saying, oh, you know, I don't like that you did that, but I respect that what you're doing now. The you truth. Know, shit like that. So just a lot of attention. And then it taught me the trends, how trends affect attraction.
Trends? What do you mean?
Trends. Like, what's trending? I was trending. I was the really popular at the time. Like the new guy, the new thing. They never saw me before. They never saw a guy talk like this before and all that. And that made, and the curiosity of it, the mystery of this. They wanted to find out, who is this guy? You know, like, what the fuck? Where he just came out of nowhere, right? I had a bunch of people from that I used to follow on YouTube. I don't want to say the names. And they have a huge following. They came into my live streams because they were curious. And I was like, hey, it's you. And then they left real quick. Everybody was curious about me.
Speaking of trending, I feel like, do you feel like right now is a good time for, like, Asian people to trend? Like, is it our time to shine?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it. Me and Dan talking about it. But, yeah, especially.
What do you think?
I think so. I think with, you know, just, like, the obvious popular culture things, right? Like
Shang-Chi. Squid Game, Shang-Chi. Squid Game. Yeah.
Watching all game.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy Rich Asians, right? Aquafina.
Yeah, yeah. Aquafina. Too funny.
Yeah, yeah. Too funny. Do you think that you've experienced some of that influx as like an Asian man?
To be honest, not that much.
Not yet.
Not that much because I don't look like any of the BTS or I don't fit that mold. They're a little bit more feminine with their style and all that, and true. I'm kind of the opposite. But I know it is helping, even if there's like Asians that look like me that don't fit it, because it's opening the eyes of the women.
The eyes of the what?
The women.
Okay.
To want to have that shit.
Have you historically dated, like, what kind of women have you historically dated, like, ethnic wise?
One was Mexican.
Okay.
The
one that sabotaged you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Mexican, a lot of Asian, Vietnamese, Chinese. Not a whole lot of Korean, even though I'm Korean, Filipino, black.
Okay, so everyone.
Basically. It's like everybody, yeah. I'll
white?
Get, yeah, white.
Okay.
White girls.
Do you have like a favorite race?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. It's just.
Interesting.
As you know, I'll be honest. I just thought Asian girls were the only ones that would have naturally lighter, like smoother legs. Uh-huh. And then like I started hooking up more with like white chicks and other girls. Like... And then I was like, whoa, they got no hair. Like, and they're like, no, it's hairy. I'm like, no, they ain't shit. What the fuck? So some girls, when they say hairy, it's like so light and thin it's like a breeze. It doesn't even exist. So their perception of hairy is very different than what I'm used to. You know what I mean? Or what the worst I've had. So yeah. I like, yeah, and then that. So I before I had a little bit more of a preference for Asian girls because I thought it was just like an Asian thing. And I was very, I'm very wrong about that. There's Mexican girls I've even hooked up with that have like no hair. And like, I'm hairy. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? So every girl has varying degrees to their hairiness.
Are you into feet too?
You know, what? It wasn't until I got a foot job. Dude, that foot job, like I want a foot job. Like bad.
Is it weird though? Because I would be into giving a foot job, but I just think it'd be awkward doing the foot thing, and then like, where do you look during a foot job? Do you look into their eyes?
What, the girl doing it?
Yeah, with the girl. Like, if I'm giving you a foot job, where am I looking?
Well, you're probably looking at my dick and laughing like, yeah, wow, he likes this, and you're like, because here's what the ex did. She was like, it was her first time doing it too, and she was just like, she was like. She was laughing at the fact that I was in such like ecstasy, and like she was like, I can't believe this is making him feel so
you're
good.
Taking your feet and you're just rubbing with it lube, up and down lube. like with this lube. Like
yeah like that, and then like all around it, like doing like an Indian burn with your feet, like hey, you know, like that shit. And then dude, it felt almost better than the vagina. I'm not even cutting. No, here's a crazy thing. It felt like she was doing it for an eternity, and like I felt like I was gonna bust it any second, but it never happened. So it was like the perfect amount of where I'm at the peak where I was like losing my mind. I was like, what the fuck? And then it was almost, the pleasure was so high, it almost was overwhelming, and I kind of wanted it to stop.
Whoa, Jade, would you give a foot job?
So like foot job.
Would you do it? I think we should try it.
Yes, I would. Let's do it. Let's do it together, Kat. Let's do it together.
At the same time.
Fuck fam, which one of you guys wants
a volunteer?
We
want to practice.
If you want to practice, come on. Look around.
We got exhibit A over here.
Yeah, like, it's like friends.
yeah.
No, but like a lot of guys think it's weird because they haven't done it. And I've talked to a lot of guys. I don't know. I met one guy who had it, and nobody else out of all the men I talked to. And it's because they think they're like, oh, it's weird. Be more open, guys. Be more open with experimenting. It's not like you're getting a fucking fist up your asshole.
Try it out. Try it.
You're getting feet on your dick, and some of you pay for feet pics. So why are you acting so shy about that shit? Mm. It could be the best thing ever.
Do you think it's usually the guy or the girl who thinks it's weird, though? I feel like the girl would get more weirded out. The reason for me, like, not having done it, or, like, me not really doing it is because, like you said, I can't see myself doing it and not making it awkward by laughing, because using a foot to jack someone off is not something you would regularly do.
Oh, dude, the laugh is the last thing the guy's going to think about. Trust me. They're not thinking about your laugh. Okay. They're just they're like, whoa!
Wow, this is like heaven,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's the other thing that I'm looking for in a girl, like sexual exploration, because otherwise, dude, somebody's going to fucking want to cheat or leave.
True.
I haven't, a thing I normally, I don't like do that. But if we have to be vanilla all the time, then what the fuck? Why are we?
Would you be into like not an open relationship, but would you be into exploring like having sex with other couples or other people? Threesomes, foursomes, group sex? Swinging culture?
It's funny you're asking me that because I watched a documentary about like a swinger, like a resort where they all go there and they just fuck each other everywhere and orgies and stuff.
Wow.
And it's not a thing that's on the top of my mind, but I am open to trying it. Will I like it? I don't know, because I'll most likely get jealous.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking too. I would get jealous.
Like I'm not like controlling and all that stuff, but I will get fucking jealous. You know, I'm like, dude, that's my girl. What the fuck, man?
But also if you were fucking someone else, it's like maybe it would cancel out the jealousy because
I don't know. If I'm fucking someone else, I'm fucking someone else. But then that's not fair, right? But I also haven't been in that situation, so I don't know.
Maybe like it's something you can try, but like only after you've exhausted most of the other options of like how to keep it, how to keep it exciting, like foot jobs and fists up your ass.
I feel like
you
wouldn't like it.
No, I talked about this on the last podcast. I think I've been in threesomes before, and I'm not jealous as long as I'm there with, in like
in the experience. I would get jealous if I found out like my guy like emotionally cheated on me more than physically.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm jealous in that regard.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very true thing in terms of like how men are, because if a man cheats, he's not emotionally attached to that girl majority of the time. It's just like, it's just sex. I've talked to a lot of guys about this. They're like, yeah, it's just sex. Mm. They don't give a fuck about her, but they still love their girl, you know? It's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like if that was to happen, like if my significant other was to like accidentally, I don't know how accidentally, but cheat on me, like hook up with another girl, and he had no feelings for her and it was just sex, I wouldn't want him to tell me about it. Why would you tell me about that? Like if I wouldn't find out anyways, why would you burden me with that? Because now I have to have that in my mind all the time. If it didn't mean anything and you're never going to go back to her, then just like let that be, just like let it go. That's it.
Like if it was like a one and done deal.
Yeah. Like from a practical standpoint and from like a standpoint of like, you know, like if we're going to be together for a long time, if you're my husband, like don't burden me with that shit. It was just like a one time thing. Like I feel like the only time where it would be appropriate for them to bring it to you is if they've like fallen in love with them and they feel like, okay, like I'm choosing her over you, or like it's not a one time thing. Mm. Yeah. Why else would you want to know though, you know?
Well, what about you, Jade? Do you want to know?
I get jealous. I get so fucking jealous. I don't want to share the guy in a orgy or threesome, so he's all mine, but I can't do it.
But in the situation where if it was like he cheated on you one time, that was it. Like, there's no way you would know. Would you want him to tell you?
I would want him to tell me.
Why?
I would want to tell
him. So you could punish him? So what?
I just want to, like, know the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that.
I choose red pill.
You choose red pill?
Yeah.
Damn, I choose ignorance. Blissful. I choose blissful
ignorance. She chooses anime.
I choose non-reality.
That's interesting that you guys both have two different takes on this.
Yeah.
Well, not even just this, but you guys.
What about you?
Oh, I want to fucking know. I'll dump that bitch. Fuck you. Fuck off. She's going to do it again.
That's what I'm thinking too.
There's plenty of girls out there. I don't give a fuck.
Because like, I think like once you cheat, like you're going to do it again.
Most people. Yeah. But I know people that have cheated like so many times and finally they felt so bad and they're like, you know, I really love her. and then never did it again.
Wow.
Like they did it like
20 like they times. Changed?
Yeah, because it took time. They just felt bad.
Oh.
But that's not everybody. Some people will cheat forever.
Yeah.
Are you the type to like look into your partner's like phone and stuff? Like, do you want to look through their phone and like find stuff or?
No. Okay. No.
Very respectful.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Fuck it. Even when they let me use their, I know their password, they let me use their computer and then, you know, like MacBook where it shows the text messages. Mm-hmm. I purposely, like, if it pops up, I squint my eyes to not see it and just close it. Because why do I need to look at it? Whatever.
I like that.
If they're not looking at my shit, I'm not going to look at their shit.
Very non-toxic.
And if I suspect them cheating, I'll just be straight up. I'm not going to try to snoop around. I'm like, yo, are you cheating? Like, if we don't, we could just end it, you know, no big deal, whatever. Like, I'm cool. Like, I just don't care anymore. Let's end it chill. Like, I don't need to yell at her. Like, oh, I can't believe you're cheating on me. I know, dude, human nature is this. Like, we're not really geared to be monogamous.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Like, instinctively, we're not really like that. Like, we have to fight to be monogamous. And because I know that and I know humans are irrational at the core, why the fuck am I going to try to force and convince this person to stop cheating and stay with me? Let's just go our separate ways. I'm not even mad at you. I'm glad it ended now. Let's move the fuck on and find people better for us. You could find somebody that you could cheat on and they'll cheat on you and you can argue and have your own little fucking fun Korean drama. And I'll just find some chick who's like ride or die for me. I care more about just like we don't have, let it go, whatever. I don't care. I just don't have the energy anymore. I don't give a fuck.
So is that why you're like not looking for, you want to focus on your career and you're not looking for a relationship? Because you don't want to deal with all that toxicity.
Look, I'm not saying a relationship itself is just toxic, but like, look, deep inside, I want somebody if I'm being very honest,
yeah.
I want somebody that I can, you know, share love with and, you know, like one person I can text like, hey, look at how big my poop is. What the fuck? You know, like stuff like that.
That's love.
Yeah, it is. But that's another when I tell girls this and they're like, hell no. I'm like, you're already not even like, even if they're hot, I'm like, nope. Immediately. Cause to me that is love and comfort.
Yeah.
You know what comfort, I mean? Like comfort. That's what I like. So,
have you pooped in front of your significant others? Like that's the thing. That's okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell them, I'll be like, hey, she's taking a shower. I'll go in. I'm like, I'm going to poop. And she's like, why do you have to do that? I'm like, I'm just going to poop. And she's like, okay. And like, she would be like, she said that I was like, would you wipe my ass if I asked you? And she's like, I would wipe her ass. Yeah. I never had her do it, but that to me makes me feel so comfortable. To me, that's love. And that's the type of comfort I want. But anyways, so yeah.
Would you wipe her ass though?
If she broke her hand, if I had to, yeah.
Okay.
But not for fun.
I'm not gonna wipe her ass for fun and lick it.
Well, yeah, I mean, no.
Like it's like a fucking candy.
What if she was okay with you pooping in front of her, but she wasn't comfortable enough with you to poop in front of you? Would that be
No. I can understand the shyness of that. Okay, I totally get that. Okay, okay. But I would want her to feel comfortable with me pooping.
Okay.
Around, because that makes me feel accepted.
Okay.
Like here's how I felt comfortable. when I really test a girl.
Okay.
So I have really sweaty feet for an Asian guy. Uh-huh. So if I wear shoes all day, it smells like demon asshole.
Okay.
Okay. So one day, if I feel comfortable enough, and I'm like, you know what, I think, like, let me. I think I could see me dating her longer. Okay, well, let's see. Let's see if I feel like we can make this work. And the way I do that is long day, and then we went on a date. I'm on her bed, take my shoes off. I can smell my feet. I'm like, yo, this shit's fucked up. This is fucked up.
It's the test.
And I'm watching her reactions as she's just like, you know, putting her clothes away in the closet.
So and then, evil of you.
And then after like 5 minutes, I'm like, why isn't she reacting? Because my feet smell like cheese and toe funk mixed together, right? And then I go, hey,
yeah,
can you smell my feet? Does it bother you? She's like, leans in, smells my feet 3 inches away.
Smells kind of cheesy, but it's not so bad.
Boom, that made me feel so much more connected to her, and I opened my heart even more.
Oh,
is it kind of sweet? But is she? Do you think she's just lying to make you feel better?
No.
She wasn't lying. How do you know she wasn't lying?
Dude, trust me. If you put your nose that close to that type of stench, you can't hide. You're not gonna be like, it'd be like,
it's okay. It's okay.
Right? Oh, but that just means she has a bad sense of smell. If she can't,
she did. She did. She had a deviated septum.
Oh, that's why.
That shit was deviated as fuck.
Oh,
but I didn't know that until after. But that was good enough for me because I'm like, shit. And then we had a system. We had a system because I need to change my socks like at least once if we're out for like 6-8 hours so I can feel comfortable because it sweats and it gets nasty. And then she would bring a Ziploc bag with clean socks. And then I'd take off the old socks. Put in a Ziploc bag, she put in her purse, and I wear the new socks. That's and then she'd cute. Also carry around Ziploc bag with the folded baby wipes because I poop a lot.
Oh.
To make me comfortable. I'd be like, but babe.
That's so sweet. Babe,
to me, that's love.
That is love. That's actually love. Wow.
Which one was this?
The one that was jealous of me. Oh, but damn. like you know, there was a lot of things that worked with each other, but unfortunately, we, you know, just growing of separate ways. And also overall, it was not like a lot. It was that relationship was perfect for that moment in time, and it helped me get to where I'm at now.
Yeah,
because sure. she did support me before it just really got to her. Like she helped me even like start to, you know, to support me and stuff. So I am grateful for that. And I think there's relationships that just not all of them are there to last, but it doesn't mean that it's bad, and it doesn't mean that we got to blame the other person. It's just like we get a gift from every single one. You know, even if some bad shit happens, that's what I believe now. And it took me a while to believe that and understand that, you know. So that's why I don't have no hard feelings toward anybody. I don't give a fuck.
Wow. Sounds like you grew up a lot from your confessions of a fuckboy phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's like evolution involved. Very nice.
Yeah, that shit was fucked up.
The One Punch Man evolution. Nice.
That shit was fucked up. Yeah. I mean, but you guys both want relationships?
We want love.
We don't. Deep I think down, we were talking we about this love. Earlier. Like, we don't want to settle down, but we want someone. We want to find a partner that we can like build with. right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of people think that, like, oh, like, I want to settle down. I want to get a house in the suburbs. I want to, like, have kids and stuff. But, like, I feel like we have our own ambitions and goals, and we want someone that have their own goals that we can work towards our goals together. That's
but,
super important.
Okay, so settling down versus being with somebody to grow together. You just, when you say settle down, you mean you don't want to be stuck in, like, one place, you mean? But you want, but what this person you want to grow to even potentially just be together for a very long term? Is that what you, or what does that mean?
Like, with our
or
goals. Temporarily. Like, I feel like there's not two types of relationships, but there's, like, one scenario where two people are both, like, very grounded in their careers already, right? They're, like, they have already obtained most of what they want to achieve. I mean, even though they're going to grow more, but then they come together and they settle down, right? They find a place, they settle down together, and they continue growing, but not, like, real, like, they're already both doctors or lawyers or whatever, right? I feel like I'm not in a place where I want to be, I haven't achieved what I want to achieve for the long term. I still have, like, a bigger 5-10 year plan. So I want someone that I can find a partner that we can build our goals together, like, towards our goals together, and not
but,
settle
but ultimately
down.
Still, like, ideally long term.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that okay. Yeah, I see. Long-term, so when you say settle down, you mean you don't want to be stagnant.
Yes, yes.
Okay, because
yes.
Settling down was like,
yeah,
getting into a relationship, people could consider that settling down, but you don't mean that.
No, I don't want to be stagnant.
Let me ask you guys this. So you guys both have OnlyFans. And having an OnlyFans, though, how does that affect your dating life?
It doesn't? I don't think it's easy, but I don't think it's like I don't think it's like a complete like, oh, like she can't have a boyfriend or she can't be dating.
To me, I think it's a benefit. It's like a positive thing. I think it's a good thing.
I used to think it was a good thing, but I'm having my doubts now.
Oh, really?
I am.
Why?
I am.
Why is that? Why is that?
I feel like as I date more guys, I feel like, okay, in like the maybe like the three, like the 1 month to like 6 month period, things are going to be okay. But I feel like in the long term, guys are less likely to take you seriously. And it could go one of either two ways. Like from if they're like really stubborn, they can just like, you know, be like, I'm never going to take her seriously and just like stick to that. Or they might fall in love with you so much that they're like, okay, I can look past that, right? Like, I'm going to help her move to like a different place where she doesn't need OnlyFans anymore. Or I'm just going to like, you know, put my own like biases aside. So, but I do think it makes dating a little bit harder. I used to think like Jay, but I feel like my views have changed.
From personal experience?
Yeah.
Some things have happened and you're like, shit.
Some like things have happened, but it's just like I think it's because I was with my ex for like 3 years, and then we had broke up maybe like almost 6 months ago, and my ex, who was pretty accepting of things, so when we broke up and the guys that I was dating right after him, like, they seemed okay, but I hadn't been able to like get to know them long term enough to like, so in my mind I was like, oh, everything's okay, I'm still going on dates with guys, but it was like a lot of like small short flings. And so in my head I had to be like, okay, why is this happening? Like, maybe like the common denominator is the fact that it's like what I do, you know, as a content creator. And then having people ask me, oh, so what is it like being an OnlyFans content creator? Like, I connected the two. I was like, maybe that is actually why.
How soon were they asked that?
I used to be pretty open, and like I would like offer the information, right? They'd be like, oh, like, what type of content creator do you do? And I'd be like, oh, I do, like, OnlyFans, like, streaming, blah, blah, blah. But then after, like, more recently, I've started not talking about OF anymore. And I don't even, like, want to give them my social media. If I see them in a longer,
like, potential?
Potential, yeah.
No, see, I can understand it because I don't really want them to find out about my social media.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to look at the numbers, and it's not even like that big of a number, but it's just it's changes biased. Changes, you know, the way they think.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just have them
know you, right?
Know me and think of me as like I'd rather have them think of me as a broke comedian than like a guy who has a following and, oh no, I guess he's, you know, and he's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't you know. But for you, Jade, you feel you don't care about that, right? You're not worried about the it hasn't really affected you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, it's also, like, a way to bond with them, too. Because you can make videos with the guys you date. It's a way to bond and then both, like, make money together. So I think of it as like a more positive thing. I don't know if I'm more naive, but I just think of it as
you're a great thing. Business oriented. You got a business mind.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, but I see. I also see the positive in that. Yeah, you guys are very. You guys are different.
Yeah, that's why we're best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you guys compliment each other.
Yeah,
I see that.
Yeah, we do balance each other out.
Like,
yeah,
like you would fuck up the person, like physically, if somebody like was like fucking with her.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like,
I would cry. Yeah. I'm the baby.
I can see that. Because it's true, isn't it? Is it true?
Yeah. Am I right? I am kind of a baby. I am pretty emotional. Yeah. I am pretty soft.
Yeah.
Baby.
Cancers are emotional.
We are
right?
emotional. Yeah. Very emotional. Because
you have like, even on the way here, you have very alpha female energy. Like the way you talk to me, I was like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, because it was like,
how?
Because you said, what is it? I was like, hey, I called earlier. I was like, hey, where do I park? I just went on a parking situation. And you're like, oh, you could park on the street. You could, I mean, I guess it's like a parking lot. I mean, you're smart. You could figure it out.
That's true.
And the way you said that was so condescending. I was like, no, but I know you. And then I was like, damn, that's some alpha energy right there. And then I get here and I park and I'm like, hey, I can't find a door. She's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you can't find a door? I was like, I can't find a door to the building. And she's like, what? I mean, look at the plants. Look at the plants. I'm like, what plants, dude? It's by the plants. Just keep walking on the sidewalk to the plants. It's right there by the plants. And I'm like, I'm looking at plants, but I don't see the door. Where's the door? And you're like, you just got to keep walking. You didn't give me any direction. You didn't give me any like landmarks. You just said, keep walking to the plants.
And then she made you feel stupid about not figuring out.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I didn't feel stupid because I know how to deal with that type of shit. But I was just like, I couldn't wait to be on this podcast to imitate you and bring it up. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, you're smart. You can figure it out. I was like, damn, dude.
Say that.
That's why when I came in here, I was like, hey, Jade, are you a little agitated today? Or what is going on?
No, I didn't even notice.
Oh, that's why you said, are you a little agitated?
Yeah. Because it was like super like, you got to figure it out. Because for me, I do know how many questions I've answered for you where you're like, hey, Mike, I don't know. How do you do this? How do you? And all of a sudden, when I ask you something, you go from, how to, you got to be smart. You figure it out. How you fuck, you dummy? You stupid head? You fucking one bitch, man?
One bitch? One,
no pussy, man, bitch?
Oh, I didn't even notice, really. I had no idea.
And then you know what I thought too? I was like, see, she talks like this because she dates so many beta males and nobody calls her out on shit.
That's so true.
That's the first thought I had.
You're an alpha or a beta male?
I'm not saying I'm alpha, but I'm definitely not a bitch.
Do you think beta equals bitch? Are you equating beta to bitch? Yes! Yo, that's, I mean, logically, I feel like that's the conclusion we can jump to, right?
No, but let me tell you this. Beta, okay, I literally released a clip on my podcast about this, but like, okay. I don't prescribe to either alpha or beta. I think there's nuances to that. Mm. It's just, you know, people are quick to categorize off that. But what I mean, when I say beta, it's just easier to say somebody that's a pushover that won't stand up for himself. And in simpler terms. Ooh. And I know from our previous conversations, you keep dating those guys because if somebody stands up to you who actually is a little bit more alpha, which I have a lot of other homegirls who have this problem, then you get annoyed. You guys clash heads because you like to be in control and you don't want to be like, you know, you're like, fuck, I got to, because I've always, I take care of myself. I got my own business. I'm more comfortable when I'm in control and independent. Like, I don't want to feel weakened by somebody, so I'm not gonna, and I don't even know you, so I'm not gonna trust you like that, so why the fuck I gotta do that? So then you have that, and then the ones that stick around are the ones that you steamroll over, and then you get frustrated because you keep having these like beta males around, but then the pattern repeats over and over and over and over and over, and then you're frustrated and you're like, fuck, I guess I gotta use my vibrator.
Wait, but like that's why I don't date alpha guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my type is beta male, so I can really just step over them.
But they frustrate you, though, at the same time.
Why do they frustrate me? Because why?
No, I'm asking you. They have to frustrate you.
No, I don't think so.
Are you genuinely happy with that?
I'm genuinely happy.
Yeah, I think most Asian girls, we both like beta, more beta guys.
We like the guai guai.
No, but for you, you don't have like that, like that, you know.
Well, not with you, but like if I'm with a guy, I typically like a guy. I don't have to be alpha in that overt way, but I am pretty alpha in the way that like I like a guy to listen to what I say. Like,
give me an example.
Yeah, like
oh, like tie her shoes.
Oh yeah, like tie my shoes. Like that okay. I'm not saying these are
we want guys to tie our shoes.
That is a perfect example of that is a requirement. If you guys talked about this
before. Yeah, acts of service.
You have to tie my shoes. My love language is gifts and acts of service. Like tying my shoes, even the action of tying your shoes is like they are like getting on their knee and like submitting to you in some way, right? But it's like a small thing that tells me that, like, I mean, yeah, I'm capable of tying my shoes, but
every
like
every time? How often? Once a day?
Whenever I tell them to.
Yeah, whenever she tells them.
But if you feel some type of way, you could do it every day, 3 times a day.
Yeah. But like, I'm not going to do it like, I'm not going to do it vindictively. Like, I usually do it in a cute way. Like, will you please tie my shoes? Oh, like, my shoes, please. Like, I'll do it in a way so they don't feel like a bitch, right? Because I'm acting cutesy too. Oh, so you get cute with it. I get cute with it, but it's also an act of service. Like, if you really do think about it, you're getting on your knees and tying your shoes for me. But I'm not gonna make you feel like a bitch for it.
I mean, I would do that sometimes. But if some girl was saying like, do this every day, I'd be like, and every like 3 times a day, I'd be like, what the fuck? Fuck no! Like my girls I dated, they had heels on, and then they're like put their leg on my thing, and then that's nice because I'm like, oh, nice feet, you know.
Foot job later.
Nice feet. Yeah, foot job, please. Hey, lotion up for 5 days, please. Lotion up for the 5 days. Okay, actually, now that got me thinking. So. Your love language is acts of service and gift giving and receiving.
Yeah.
Yours has to also include gifts as well, right?
Yes.
So that answers why we both viewed the first date very differently.
Yes.
Because guess what the point system out of 12 for gifts is?
0, 1, 0, 0.2.
Oh, fuck. I did it with my hands. I didn't realize I did this because I was like, I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah, mine is 0.
Okay.
I don't feel more loved if you give me a gift. I'm grateful if you give me some shit, but okay. That's like what I care more about is you being there, being present with me, you know, like us really like together in the moment.
So here's this time.
Time spent together and acts of service. Like if she's like, oh, you had a long day. I made you chicken enchiladas because I know you like that. Or like, hey, babe, don't worry, but I'll do the dishes because you cook this time. We're like, damn, you like that. And then, physical touch.
I think every guy wants physical touch, though.
Yeah, I think
not every guy. No, I know some guys that don't.
Most guys, like 90% of guys would love.
A lot of guys. But like when I say physical touch, I mean, I like just holding hands. Like I like holding hands. I like like doing
cuddling
like that, or just like laying on our lap. I like that. And there's girls that I have been on dates with, and that's like not their love language. And it may, even though they're very attractive and we got along in so many other areas, that we couldn't do it because I need that. So I feel like I'm literally forcing you to hold my hand, and I don't like that. I want the girl that wants to grab my hand and then like looks up at me like, and I'm like, hey, and then we walk.
Force them to hold your foot. That's real love, right? Your sweaty foot.
No, I don't want them to touch.
Force them to hold your foot. That's how you know.
I want them to hold and smell and be like, it smells cheesy, but not so bad. And then they go on their day.
But that was love for you, right? That was when she said it was not so bad.
Because to me, that was like full acceptance of my being. And let me explain the foot thing, because like now I know how to like work with it, and you know, I change the socks or I wash my feet. I didn't know how to do that when I was a kid. So you know, you only wear one pair of shoes, and you're at school for like fucking 8 hours, 10 hours, and then you go to a friend's house, and your feet smell like shit. And then my dad would tell me, "It smells like disgusting. I can smell it in the carpet. I can smell your feet in the carpet." And he like hit me.
Damn, that's mean.
Yeah. So like to me, that was a place of complete insecurity. Which it took me to like late 20s to start to kind of really accept like this is just me. And yeah, so now I don't get so like afraid of it. But that's kind of my way of being like, hey, do you really accept me? To me, that's like my worst physically.
Hey, speaking of insecurity, do you think that this is a huge pivot, but do you think that growing up in an Asian household has made you more insecure as a person growing up?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I often think about like the way I am a lot, because I am sometimes pretty insecure, especially like as a content creator. I think that's something that like we all kind of face. A challenge is like overcoming our insecurities. But I feel like it's hard, especially for Asian content creators, because we're raised in kind of like a challenging, not a very like nurturing environment to be creative, right? So yeah. You're always questioning, am I doing, is it right, you know, am I good?
Yeah, because in an Asian household, when you do bad, you get treated as such. You get hit, you get shamed, and when you do good, especially with immigrant parents, it's still not good. It's bad.
Not good enough.
Right.
So no matter what you do, you're bad. Mm. And that's what I learned, and that's when I looked into my childhood trauma and healing that part of me 3 years ago. That was freedom. But it's still there. It's not completely gone, but when I say healed it, I mean it was like a gaping wound that was what's the word? Infected. It was like infected. Mm. But now it's more like, I would say, not like a gaping wound, but it's like a scar that, you know, if sometimes like I bump into it too much, it might reopen a bit, but it's not what it was before, but it's still kind of there, right? So.
What happened 3 years ago? She's trying to undress and... She's getting her tits right for you.
Yeah. Everybody loves your boobies. You know that, right?
I know.
You know how many people DM me? You know how many people? You have great boobies. You know how many people DM me saying you need to bring that dinosaur lady with the, because Jadasaur.
Yeah, the dinosaur lady.
Yeah, you need to bring that dinosaur lady with the big boobies, man. She was cool. She was funny. But they mainly want the boobies.
I'm sure.
But what also,
I'm sure,
the personality. Yeah. They're like, she's dope. She's dope. She got big boobies and she's dinosaur.
That's what makes it compliments, you know, the boobs and the personality complement each other. It's good synergy.
It does. It's like very, because you're very open and you're like silly and you're playful and confident, and your boobs say that. Your boobs say, yo, dude, these are real and they're here.
Boobs are a reflection. Like a good reflection of your personality, your amazing personality.
Yeah.
Wow, your fans are very
your
nice.
Your spirit
thank
animal
you.
Is titties.
Titties.
Oh,
I'd say your spirit animal is like a rabbit, maybe.
Yours?
Rabbit. No, yours.
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Why?
I like quick.
Do I fuck a lot?
Quick, mischievous. I don't fuck a lot. Like smart.
Okay, okay.
Like playful.
Okay, okay. I thought I was like a pig because I'm like, I like to eat a lot.
No, I mean, rabbits still graze and stuff. Rabbits still graze. Yeah, you would be like, you know, turtle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah! Because like,
because I look like a turtle.
He looks like a turtle.
I know I do.
Low-hanging fruit.
Somebody called me. Somebody said in high school when I was at summer school, he looked at me. I never met him before. He was older than me. He was like, hey, you look like a turtle. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah? He's like, yeah, you look like Franklin the turtle. And then I was like, and it made me shy and it hurt my feelings because I was in high school and I didn't know how to clap back. So I was like, oh. And every day I just, I imagined punching him in the face, but I was too shy.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
No. It's funny now. It's funny now. Like, roasting is normal to me now, but like, I am a turtle. And my friend called me a turtle because I have a hard back, he said too. Feel my back. Feel my back.
It is pretty hard.
It's pretty hard.
It's from the muscles, right? Yeah.
It's
dense. Muscly and dense.
Dense. Hey, what were we talking about before we got here? I think we were on some cool topic. And I forgot.
Are your titty? Okay, wait. Titty, wait. Animal, spirit animal, titties. Before that, Asian parents, culture.
Oh, you asked me 3 years ago?
Yeah, I wanted to get back to like what actually happened 3 years ago. Yeah, because you said like something transformed.
Oh, So 3 years ago, this month is the anniversary of me doing it. So like a little bit over 3 years ago it was when I left my job and stuff because I was planning to hang myself because I was so miserable for like, I didn't realize I was that depressed for, I think, over six months where every second of the day I thought about how life is pointless and then just like, I want to die, like every second of the day, literally every second of the day. And I didn't realize it because it's like a frog slowly boiling in water. You know, the frog doesn't realize it until it's too late. And it got to the point where I was just like, I'm going to, I already had it planned out, go to the closet, little thing. And then I slowly fall asleep and then I just die. Yeah. And then when I realized that it was like, it's so serious. I looked into it and I was like, damn, this is fucked up. And then I long story short, I looked into childhood trauma and a lot of the reasons why we have our insecurities or we do things that don't serve us and we doubt ourselves and we're fearful or whatever. A lot of that, I would say almost all of it, just comes from the way our parents raised us. And my dad always shit on me. You know, like I learned that I don't feel safe to have anything because my dad would always take it away, even if he gave me something. Like when he found that I can sing. And I took singing lessons from my friend's mom in high school once every Friday after school for an hour. He found out I could sing. He was like, oh, sing. Like he discovered it or something. Like, you sing more, practice. And I was like, fuck, he's taking away the fun out of it. And now I didn't get good grades one semester. And he's like, all you do is sing. That's all you do. And he screamed at me. So I stopped going to singing classes, which was, and in high school, that was the only way I could express myself, because I only knew how to feel anger, because my dad would hit me more if I cried, but if I got angry, he would leave me alone. So like, then that led me to doing drugs, and it just went in this crazy thing, you know? So like, childhood trauma for everybody, no matter how successful they are in their life, financially, whatever, is a real thing. And I used to downplay it because I would compare myself to kids in like Africa, third world countries, people missing like limbs. Like, dude, they have it so bad. My life is perfectly fine. But what I learned is when you're, it's called childhood trauma for a reason. When you're a kid, anything that happens to you is all your fault, and it's like magnified by 100,000 because you're a child. Mm. What else do you know? So all the things that happen to every kid, even if they come from like a rich family, the things they go through is a very real thing, which hurts them in their youth to adulthood and for the rest of their lives. So that's why when people say, what do you have? What do you got to feel bad about? Because you got money. Like, you got nothing to complain about. They're literally saying, fuck you. Fuck everything you're about. The shit that you feel, the pain means nothing. And that leads people to kill themselves or do something crazy and like go on drug binges and lose their minds. So I learned a lot from that experience of like, all pain is real pain when it comes to like that childhood trauma shit. So yeah.
So you said you overcame it. So like, cause I'm sure like childhood trauma is something that like we can, especially like, I think this is universal, not just Asian people, but it's like, yeah. It is everyone, right? But like, so you've identified the childhood trauma. So like, how do you take the steps to get over it?
See, this is hard because it's not like a clear cut thing, but I can just tell you in a summarized version what I did. So the first thing that let me know that I that made me aware that I probably have childhood trauma at what, 28 at that time, I'm 32 now, was my friend sent me a podcast with David Cho and David Chang. David Cho, creator of Momofuku, Ugly Delicious, the chef.
Yeah.
You know, the big Korean guy.
Oh, and no, that's Fortune.
Never
mind, sorry.
No, they're friends too.
Okay.
And David Cho is the artist who got like $200 million from Facebook because he got, before Facebook blew up, he painted their walls or whatever. And then he's like, they're like, you want stocks or you want just like $100,000 or something like that? He's like, I'll take this stocks. He got rich fucking overnight from that. And he's like a great artist. So he's been, anyways. So two Korean Americans who are crushing it in their creative fields, right? And they had a podcast where they talked about childhood trauma the whole time. Hmm. And I've always heard white people talk about it and everybody, but it's like they're white. You know, it's like, yeah, that's real. But it didn't resonate with me until two Asian Americans who are creatives doing well in their 40s say, I still have to go to a therapist at least once a week or if not more because I struggle with childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's when it opened mine and blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, people that grew up the same way, Korean Americans, immigrant families. And I was like, maybe I have childhood trauma. And then when I left everything to like, I didn't do anything for, I think almost like fucking 3 to 4 months. Went through all my savings at home. And I just sat there. I said, you know what? Every time, because here's what will happen. Whenever I would, up to that age, even watch Netflix or just I had a long day working and I try to do something relaxing, I would shit on myself. My voice in my head would say, you fucking piece of shit, you fucking loser, you don't deserve to do this, you fucking loser, you how dare you do this.
Is that what your dad would have said to you? Is that like
would always talk to me like that. And yeah. I didn't realize, here's what I realized, I learned that voice in my head that would always shit on me whether I was doing good, bad, I couldn't relax, nothing, it was, and even though he died 8 years before that, it was his voice being Trojan horsed through my voice.
Yeah.
Meaning like my voice was the vehicle to carry his message. So I misconstrued that as my own thoughts. And then I realized, oh fuck, because so I boiled it down to it's everything I do in life is based off of what I think society thinks I should be to be accepted. And then my dad. And I started with society. I was like, has anybody in society ever told you can't do something like that you believe in or that you want to do? Nobody ever came up to me and said, you can't be a stand-up comic. You can't be an artist. Nobody. So that alleviated that quickly. The hard part was the dad part. Mm. And then, so what I did was I forced myself to sit on the couch After leaving that job, I'd work like 12, 14 hours, if not 24/7 hours. Like, you know, I'd wake up, whatever, just work. And then I would, I forced myself to sit there, allow myself to do all the things that I would never allow myself to do, like playing video games and watching Netflix all day, like 10 hours a day, just to fucking figure this out. I was like, you need to figure this out. So every second, it'd be like, you fucking loser. You're watching Netflix. You might as well kill yourself, you fucking pussy. And then I would, I'd be like, no. I talked to myself like the dad that I wished I had. I'd be like, no, it's okay. You're fine. I'd be like, no, you're allowed to do this. It's okay. And then I had to do every second, every day, every fucking second. And it slowly went from every second to like every 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds without me beating on myself. And it made me like, and it went from that to like a minute, 5 minutes. But then I would keep having to do it. But it took like, I had to do that. Literally almost every second of the day for forever, for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And then finally, like, I retrained that part.
It became a habit.
You can rewire your brain to where I was more positive talk of just like, no, you're allowed to, but that's still a part of me, but like I can recover quicker, and like 90% of that is way better than what it was. So I don't like really do that. Like I can work through that. That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
And then that's what led me to being here and then allowing myself to do this, because I had positive self talk of like, oh, dude, you can do it. You got nothing to lose, man. Just fuck it. Just go. Versus like, die. Literally. Like, fucking die, bitch.
That's crazy. Yeah. And it came from like, you addressing your childhood trauma came from the podcast that you said you listened to, right? Like,
yes.
Relating to the podcast. I think that like a lot of Asian people don't really talk about like their childhood traumas or like their upbringing, because it seems as like ungrateful to your parents. But I don't think we should necessarily equate like ungratefulness to addressing our problems at the root of the issue, right?
Absolutely. And that's the part, the issue of comparison. Like our parents, they struggle. It's like, I sacrificed to come here to give you a better life. It's like, bitch, you didn't even know what I would look like when dad came in your fucking pussy. Like, what are you talking about? You had no idea. You didn't come here knowing Michael's going to be born. You had no, I could have been like Steve or Christina if you fuck 3 days later. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grateful to my parents now, but back then I was like, here's what I think, man. Like, we just, the hardest part was admitting to myself that I had childhood trauma.
Mm.
Oh, here's the thing I forgot. I had to tell myself on the couch. As I was doing the other stuff, like self-talk, I had to say, and I journaled, anytime I felt like anxiety or I felt like shit, I would shit on myself, I would get a journal and write down, you think this, why? Because of this, why? Because of this, why? Because of this. And it always went back down to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, because when I was a kid, he sent me to art school and told me to stop going because like, you know what I mean? Like, he gives and then takes away. Give and then take away. Give and take away. Or take, punish. Right?
Yeah,
so childhood trauma for anybody is a thing that I really implore people to really look into. Why else do you go out every weekend to get fucked up and feel like you have to hook up with a bunch of girls? What, so you could just like get daps from your homies? No, man. That, dude, a lot of guys I know, where I talk to them, I get it out of them, they're not happy. They haven't resolved certain shit. What? That's why. And you hate your job, so you get fucked up on the weekends, and you have to try to get pussy to feel like you conquest, like you succeeded in something, but you never feel fulfilled because having sex and all that is very temporary, full form of success.
You're just like numbing the pain, right? It's literally masking the pain.
The fucking pain. I suggest running towards the pain to figure out, where does this come from? And it fucking sucks. It's fucking scary. It's not fun. And you have to admit things to yourself that you don't want to admit, because we've developed over the years survival mechanisms to operate and survive with whatever this shit is, even if it's discomfort and it's not serving us. But we're comfortable in the discomfort. So seeking, and just searching into that emotional pain instead of numbing it, figuring out, where is this coming from? Because I used to numb it all the time. I was a pothead. I did drugs all the time. I was addicted to ecstasy. I would take it like two days in a row.
Very Asian of you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go to raves. I would just take it for no reason.
House rolling or like
No, not even house rolling. Oh. I would take it and go to a supermarket.
Oh, damn.
Wow, that's
damn.
Fun.
Yeah, so no. It was to the point where I didn't have any serotonin. I just took it to feel tweaked out, just my eyes bugged out. Oh. And get paranoid. Like, I didn't feel good anymore.
At a certain point, you have no more serotonin to dump, right? It's
yeah.
It's like all gone.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I ended up blackout drunk four to five times a week, chugging straight from the vodka bottle while driving on the freeway, blacking out, not remembering where I parked,
damn.
Passing out behind the wheel, waking up on the other side of the stoplight when it was red. Shit like that. I used to do all that stuff. I used to escape all the time. And then it finally, you know, it's like I was going to kill myself. So it's like, dog, you can't run away from whatever this is. You got to figure this stuff out. On the other side of that is freedom. And that's why I'm here today. And that's why the happiest I've ever been. And that's why I don't have, you know, yeah, I struggle. I have things that happen. But I'm happy because I'm choosing to suffer for something that I want. And I love myself now. Whereas before I didn't. I despised myself.
Yeah, self-love is important. I think you're at a place. So it sounds like you're at a place where you've like found self-love, which makes you happier.
Absolutely. That's why like even being broke and pursuing my dreams and stuff, I'm still fine because I thought happiness had to be a certain amount of income, having your own house, like whatever, you know, having a bunch of like hot ass fucking girls around, whatever.
And that's then, ideal, right? Still, I mean, it doesn't hurt.
No, I like being around. No, it's great being around beautiful women too, but beautiful women won't actually make you happy. No, and in money, you know how many guys I talked to that fucking balling business millions of dollars, and they're like, Michael, I've achieved all my financial dreams, and I'm still not happy.
Wow.
Because money helps to live comfortably. But money is not the true source of happiness in and of itself. But by me saying that too, I'm not saying like try to be broke. I'm not saying like be like, I hate money. Don't demonize it. I'm just saying if you're looking at that for a source of joy, you will never be happy. Think about how many rich, successful people kill themselves. Why? Why?
I feel like you'd be a really good father figure.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of people said that at the height of the lockdown when I was always live streaming. They're like, you're like my big bro. Or like, I wish you were my dad. I'm like, my guy, I'm living at home. I'm a mom. I don't think you want me to do that.
Speaking of father figures.
Wait, do you want kids, first of all?
Yeah.
We're segueing into this slowly. Would you like kids?
Okay, so if I had to answer without thinking about things I'm doing right now,
yeah.
And then in the future, mm-hmm. like without the current bias mm-hmm. of what I'm trying to achieve, honestly, it's funny because I never really said this before. I'm going to say yes.
Damn, you heard it here first, Puck fam.
Whoa. Yeah,
you heard it here first.
I've never really said it because I always said no because I'm coming from a standpoint of now. Where mm-hmm. I'm at right now, no, because I have too much to do and I'm going to neglect the child. Neglecting in the way of I'm not going to be able to be there 100% because I'm still building and I got a long way to go and this is my fucking main mission and priority, so it wouldn't be fair to the child or, you know, the wife, whoever the fuck that is. Whoever the fuck that wife is.
We have a situation for you.
Yeah so we want to do some role playing,
Michael. We want to do some role playing.
Yeah,
okay.
So say,
does it have to do with feet?
No.
Okay. I mean, it could.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean,
pairs of feet. Okay, role play. Let's do it.
All right. So say you're a father.
You're our father. We're your daughters.
We are your daughters.
Is this a Pornhub situation? No daughters look like this together. The fuck? Okay, yeah, okay. So I'm the father. I'm the father. Uh-huh. Okay.
You've just found out. We've just came out to you saying that we do OnlyFans. We gotta come clean to you. So how do you handle this situation, Dad?
How old are you in this scenario where I'm the father?
We're in our late 20s.
Yeah,
20s, like early 20s.
Late 20s, like mid to late 20s.
Mid to late 20s, yeah. In this scenario,
Dad, you've been asking, you know, what we do as a job, and me and Jade have to come clean to you. Jade, you should tell him.
Daddy, we do OnlyFans for money because it pays our rent and you're not giving us enough money. So
we don't want to burden you.
Yeah, we're just going to make the money ourselves. And
we hope you're proud of us, but we're happy.
Yeah, we're really happy because we're making a killing.
We're doing so well.
We're doing so well.
Top 0.01%, Dad.
Is that how you were able to buy me that PlayStation 5?
Yes.
Okay, so you buy me a PlayStation 5 with your OnlyFans money.
No, I actually like sucked a guy's dick for it.
Oh my God. Okay, so you're sucking dick on OnlyFans.
But it was our boyfriends, though. We only shoot with our boyfriends.
You're both sucking dick.
It's like amateur sex tapes. It's basically what Kim Kardashian and Ray J did. It's there. It's just a sex tape. We're not porn stars. It's just with one person.
Yeah. But we bought you a PlayStation, Dad. Aren't you happy?
We'll be able to buy you a house one day.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
Are you going to help pay more rent?
Of course.
I mean, if you help us shoot.
What the fuck?
If you want to be part of it, like, you got to, like, put in some work, you know? That's if you want your rent paid.
I don't know. This is the direction we're going. All right, Jade, I'll take your
only
lead.
Only if I can put on earplugs.
You don't want to hear?
No.
But he wants to see.
But you want to see.
No, I'm going to close my eyes like the way children do when they watch horror movies when somebody's going to get killed.
I'm going to squint. Through your fingers?
Yeah, do like my fingers.
But you're okay with us doing this?
You're not going to talk us out of this.
Not really, but right now is a hard time.
Uh-huh.
And you are my only children, and your mom left me a long time ago. And I'm struggling. And to me, this is like teamwork, so.
Damn.
So, Dad, you'll help us?
And you're okay with it?
Yeah.
And you hold the camera for us while we get fucked?
Yeah. And Dad, also.
Yeah. Are you proud of us? We just want to hear that you're proud.
I'm proud of you. And you know what? Since we're this is the family business, for the greater good of the family, I will do POV with both your feet on my wiener.
I knew it was fucking in like that. That's nice. Damn, you're a good dad.
You're a
good dad, Mike.
Fuck, I'm a great dad.
That gave me like warm fuzzies in my heart when you said you were proud of
me too. I felt warm feet on my
dick. On your cock.
Yeah, on my cock, yeah. It was great.
We felt warm in our hearts and he felt warm in his cock.
I did.
Would you be down though?
What, I'm not.
Would you be down to do that with us?
I mean, if my face wasn't on there.
Jade. I'm just Jade. You would, if you were with a girl that did OnlyFans, you would shoot with her as long as your face wasn't in there.
It's funny because I thought about this because I was watching some kind of video. I think, I don't remember what it was about, but it had to do with the OnlyFans girls. And then just like, you know, it's easy to judge OnlyFans girls if you never met OnlyFans girls and then, you know, just like think of them as just like dummies and just fucking, they just do that shit and that's, and you know, just stereotype the fuck out of them. But then when you watch documentaries where they're really talking and, you know, they're business minded and they know exactly where they're doing it and all that stuff, it opens your eyes more. And then, you know, I'm friends with you guys too. So it's like, you guys are really cool, very smart. And when I talk to you guys, like the OnlyFans thing is not even it's like back of the mind. I only brought it up in this podcast because
it'd be cool. I mean, it's an interesting topic.
It's a topic because we're on the topic of dating and stuff, I don't think about that because there's nothing, you know, I see you as like human beings. So going off of that, I would have said no before, but I would be open to see how I am able to maneuver with that. And honestly, at this point too, here's what happened too recently. I told myself the way I've been operating, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of the same things over and over, including dating and all that stuff. So I was like, okay, it's probably time to, over the weekend, I journaled about it. I realized I've been actually closed off to other experiences and I kept telling everybody I'm open, but in the reality of it is I actually kind of pigeonholed myself to make myself believe that I have been open to things. So like I'm expanding that and being a lot less judgmental towards people and situations and things intentionally. So that's a long winded way of saying, yeah, if the connection was there and I see and why they're doing it, not just for like, I just want guys look, cause some girls do that. Some girls just want just the attention and stuff and validate. But there's other girls. Yeah. You know, validation. Sure. That's even with what I do, there's validation and attention. And I, so fine, fair enough. But like, is it beyond that business, intelligence, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for being open-minded, Mike. warm fuzzies.
You look, I feel like, you know, I thought about, I was like, every time you guys ask me a question that could be simply answered yes or no, I just go on this long rant.
We don't want yes or no. Yes or no would make a really boring podcast, right? We want to understand like the reasoning, like why you think yes or no. So
bring me back a second time and I'll say yes or no. And we'll experiment like the whole time and let's see how short
just
it is.
Yes or no questions.
Okay. Let's see how
short. Questions at you.
Yeah. And okay. I just go yes. Okay. No. Yes. No. Have you guys had a guest like that?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. Because you're only our fourth guest.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we would love to have a guest like that, though. Just would to try. Just
it'd
to
be funny.
Just to troll us. We need to get trolled.
That's true.
We do enough trolling. We need to get back at us.
Yeah.
The awkwardness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think it'd be a good experiment.
Yeah, we're good at making people feel awkward, but we should feel awkward sometimes.
It would teach us how to be better interviewers if we could get someone who said just yes or no to like try to open them up.
Oh, I see what you mean. It'd be a challenge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys make people feel awkward?
I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
How?
Yeah.
Why?
In the beginning, I asked you like pussy questions.
How's that awkward?
Oh, were you asserting your dominance over him? Was that you asserting dominance? Like,
no, I was genuinely curious.
Oh, okay. No, but also Jade, low key, she always has this thing. I feel like when she's interacting with a guy, just even if it's platonic, just like, let's see if he's a bitch.
I think that's really smart.
I can see that in you.
What?
Just a little bit.
Maybe she is self-conscious.
Just a little bit.
Okay, what?
She's self-consciously
more.
Like doing. Yeah.
I'm not saying that's like a bad thing. I'm just saying like, I feel that there's a little bit of you always kind of just testing guys because to see their strength just because like it's just there. I think it's there. I do believe
why
that.
Why do I have that? Why do I do that? Just for fun?
Because you're an alpha.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe you do it subconsciously just to get a feel for him. Just like guys do it to each other too. I'm sure guys,
it's like a test.
Even the way that you guys shake hands, I like listen to this thing, like the way you shake someone else's hand, you can tell whether like who's going to be the alpha or the beta, or like, I know you don't like using those terms, but like who has the upper hand, who has the lower hand, like the way that you shake someone's hand down to that, the first encounter. So that's like her way of shaking your hand.
There is some truth in that, but here's what I learned too, is the guys with the softest handshakes, they're doing that because they could fuck your ass up.
Damn.
I've shook hands with UFC fighters. They're the soft. They're just so like, hey man, just really soft and kind of tender. Just hey, yeah, dude.
Wait, do it to me. Let me see.
Like, this guy was like 250 pounds. Yeah. Oh my god. And then he shook my hand like this. 250 pounds, 6'3", just.
Okay.
Jacked, and he shook my hand like this. Hey, do you see what I mean?
Wow, he didn't want to hurt you.
Wants to fuck with your head, maybe.
That's the most gentle handshake. I have another friend who's a UFC fighter or a former UFC fighter.
Oh, very light, very gentle.
And he just liked that all the time because he could fucking it. They have nothing to prove because they know they could fuck people up. They do that for a living, or if they've done it and they're like
nothing to prove.
Right, but there's guys out there who feel like they have to fucking hurt you because they're insecure.
They'll
shake your hand to try to crush the fuck out of it. But initially meeting for a lot of other people, I am gonna kind of judge a little bit if it's just too soft. But it doesn't. I don't care about it being like hard. But let's just match the, because I go kind of soft with it too. Because I don't feel like I have to assert any dominance. I'm just like, hey man. But if I feel him squeeze back really fucking hard, I'll squeeze back hard too, and I'll be like, oh, I see what you're about. You're doing that because you think I'm a bitch. All right, let's see. Let's have you have a conversation. And you see how courageous they are and how open they are. And a lot of times they're closed off. And I look at them, I'm like, okay. And I'll test them. All right, you tell me about blah, 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 blah. And so you're scared. You're scared about that. Like, no. I'm like, come on, let's be real. Let's be honest here. You are kind of scared. Like I'll do stuff like that if I think you're trying to test me.
Okay.
You're really good at reading people.
Yeah, I think you're pretty good at reading people too.
Yeah, you're like psychologically like you can just read minds.
You go deep.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind fuck.
You know what's funny? I kind of believe that I can really. I'm pretty certain when I have like when I read
intuition.
People,
intuition.
I trust that a lot because I worked on that. Mm-hmm. I really believe it.
How'd you work on it?
Oh, this ties in with the childhood trauma stuff too. So real quick, we all have a gut instinct feeling towards things, which is our natural alarm system. Mm-hmm. Which tells us something's safe, something's not safe, or this is right, or this feels wrong, whatever. Mm. But over time, with the like our parents being like, no, you like, I'm like, this is a dysfunctional family. because I learned it in health class, fourth grade. I was like, this is dysfunctional. My dad's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know.
You don't know.
Like little things like that. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure. Gaslighting, constant gaslighting. You detach from your gut instinct. Like it separates. That the threats sense. Start to yeah. snap. So then yeah, you have to sense. Rebuild it as an adult to reconnect. Yeah. So I've redeveloped it to the point where I trust it like that. Mm. Wow. So, and I've dealt with a lot of people with what I do and shit.
Oh, yeah. God, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, gut
instinct? What were you saying?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, gut instinct meaning like you can just like tell like whether someone like is good or bad off the bat, or like whether you can trust them or not trust them.
Well, it tells me if I have to look into things deeper.
Ah.
And then like over 95, 98% of the time, there's a reason why. Because we're like animals. All animals have this thing where we can read body language on like a subconscious level that our conscious brain won't really know exactly what it is. So it's like you kind of got to trust it. And then I found out later, I'm right a lot of times when I make like a judgment of this is not a safe person. You know, whatever, right? So not trying to act like I'm foolproof. It's foolproof with that stuff. But I would say that I'm pretty good.
You're right.
I wanted.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Are you really interested in hearing me talk about all this shit?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm just like bragging.
Wait. I have one more question. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned that.
I just sound like I'm just like
no, wait.
Shooting smoke up my own ass. Dude, being like, I'm the shit.
This is anyways. Your time to shine, Mike.
Look at your brain. It's not
right. I'm the guest. You're right. I'm the guest. That's right. You know what? I am the shit. Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. She jacked off my head penis. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, everybody. Okay. I have a question. So you mentioned that when you go on dates, you exude like sex when you look into their eyes. Like, how do you exude sex? Like, how do you like
the sex energy?
Yeah, sex energy.
So you look at their eyes when they're sitting across from you, and you hyper focus on just their eyes. To the point where, like, it's like, you know when you take a photo and then the background is blurry, like a bokeh? Mm-hmm. It's yeah. like that. Like, mm-hmm. you're so focused on them. Like, you intentionally focus because, you know, we space that after a while, too.
Yeah.
But you focus on that. And then you start. There's, like, this passion feeling that you have. Maybe you're thinking about kissing them or having sex with them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you just, like, you literally try to shoot that. It sounds really crazy, but you try to shoot that from your eyes to their eyes and just like transfer that energy, like connection, a thread, and you try to maintain that constant energy flow. And what that ultimately does is it makes you so present and they can feel your presence. They don't know why, because they can't read your brain.
Okay.
But the woman feels your presence, and that turns them on because they feel you with them. Oh. They feel, even if there's like chaos in the background of the bar or fucking people arguing, if you do it right and you're just so focused on them and they look back at you, and then you can see like a glimmer in their eyes too, and you're both
sparkling.
It's just you and her connecting. And then you do little like hand stuff, touching like their hands, like just, you know, like playful stuff, but it's just you and them. And then that to me is a high level of presence, seduction.
I felt that, like, even in your description, I felt like the yeah. intensity.
Yeah, I didn't even look at your eyes too, right? No, but even explaining it,
explaining it made me feel the intensity.
Yeah, so it's intent, right?
I'm not sure how would you react if someone was giving you that much energy. Like, how do you even match that energy on a date?
I want to ask if a girl has ever done that. Has a girl done that to you, like just do it back to you?
Just being present.
I just do it back.
Just being present. Well, I can tell if it's like this weird competition thing.
Yeah.
It's all this.
That's how you would do it back.
Yeah, no, I can tell.
In a fuck you way.
Yeah. Like, oh, you trying to like do some shit? Like me doing that is just me like truly trying to like, okay, let's connect and see what we can do with this.
For sure.
But I felt when, you know, a lot of times just like, you know, the girl, if she's open to it and not trying to fight whatever this is, looks back and then allows the connection to happen, and then we're both, you know, sending energy to each other.
Wow.
Wow. And then the smile, when we both smile, that's when you start laughing for no reason because you're looking at each other, you know?
Oh, that's
and,
like...
And all that stuff. So,
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, but like, you have a crazy stare sometimes. Do I? Yeah, what it really does, I feel like if you purposely do it, you're going to look like this. You're going to look like, yeah, so... Why are you a bitch? Because you like testing dudes. You like testing guys.
You're so right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John's falling asleep. Wow.
Should we go on to Fuck Fam Olympics?
Oh, yeah. Let's go on to Fuck Fam Olympics.
Okay, Fuck Fam Olympics. Is this the final thing?
It's our final thing. Final segment.
Yeah, this is the climax.
The climax of the foot job.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right, our game is going to be Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Fuck, Marry, Kill? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
okay,
Sally.
Okay, okay. 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 I know.
Okay.
And you have to explain why.
Do I have to say first? What do I have to say first?
You don't have to kill anything you want.
Okay. You know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna say this.
Oh shit.
I'm gonna kill Jade.
Ah!
And the reason why, here's the reason why. You have too much boss girl energy to where like, cause I'm not like, I don't fit the guys that want to bow down to you, and you have very strong energy. So in that sense, we would be arguing all the time, and it would be a constant battle because you won't relinquish that.
Do you think we'd like butt heads all the time?
Fuck yeah!
Oh yeah!
Hell yeah!
Shit!
Because I'd call you out on shit, and you're like, nobody. Hey, you walk towards the planters. You need to walk towards the planters. You fucking idiot!
You're a smart guy.
You're smart. You can figure it out. You know what you do.
That's so true.
It sounds nothing. You know what you're doing.
Doesn't even sound like you. An Asian accent all of a sudden. Like, where did that accent come from?
I know. All of a sudden you sound Korean. You know what you do, huh?
Yeah.
Look for the plant, huh? You 개새끼야. You 씹새끼야.
The plant is key.
Yeah, and then I would. I think I'd marry you.
What? You don't
know. Actually, should I tell why I would fuck Sally first and then go to the explanation?
Sure,
I would fuck Sally because this is so funny because we Sally hears it. Well, you know, because she's fun, and then she doesn't, it comes down to the energy too of like the she allows me to be in my man energy even like as a friend, and then lets the, I feel like I'm insulting you. I'm not trying to insult you, by the way.
No, it's okay. I can take it. Hard shell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's pretty. I don't know. I guess I got to choose out of the three, right? What the fuck? I mean, how much more do we have to explain about fucking?
That makes sense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's
sure.
Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then out of the three, I would marry you because you like nerd shit.
I do.
You like nerd stuff. And then there was times too where you thought something and I thought it, but we didn't say it at the same time. But I was, oh shit, she said that shit. So that tells me that we think similarly in terms of like humor.
Mm.
So long term, that would be like, I guess, a marriage thing out of the three.
Woo! All right. So thank you, Mike, for joining us. You little sexy thang. You just killed me.
Thank you so much. Squid Games. We had such a good time with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Fuck you. Yeah.
And
you have any last words? We're gonna plug you here.
Yeah, can we,
Mike,
can we,
Kim,
yeah, we're gonna plug your socials, but like go ahead and plug your stuff.
So my Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everything, my social media handle is underneath Mike Kim Comedy, MikeKim Comedy.
Woo-hoo.
One word. I also have a podcast called The Set Breaker. Three words. The Set Breaker. It's a great podcast. There's comedy. It gets deep. We laugh. Sometimes we cry.
Damn.
Ooh, yeah, your podcast goes.
Yeah, I like your podcast.
I love them.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
We're big fans of you.
I'm big fans of you.
Thank you.
I am your only fan.
Only fan. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's full circle back to the
callback, baby.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us.
Butt jobs.
Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next time.
What's up?
Bye, fuckers.